Being Catholic is tough, and when it comes to like some of the things we believe, one of the tough things for us as Catholics is our belief in the Pope, and this idea that the Pope is infallible. Do we really believe that Jesus chose one man and works through him to guide the church in a way that is infallible? Like we can trust Jesus to work through even the worst of sinners to guide the church, to teach us when it comes to our faith and our morals, the truth. You know, do we really believe that a human being could hold that role? Yes, we do. And we heard so clearly in Scripture today that we didn't just make this up. You know, sometimes if you're talking, you have any brothers and sisters in Christ who don't go to a Catholic church, they might say, like, you know, the whole idea of papal infallibility, that didn't show up until 1870 with the First Vatican Council. That is when it was first defined, first clearly explained. But it's something that's always been operative from the day that Jesus said what he said to Peter in today's gospel reading. He said, "I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And again, we got to get our Jewish kind of thinking caps on, because like keys, like did he give him a little pair of keys? Get into heaven? No. This is a symbol of authority. We heard in Isaiah something very similar. "I will place the key of the house of David on Eliakim's shoulder. When he opens, no one shall shut. When he shuts, no one shall open." Almost like Jesus is continuing and bringing to fulfillment another great thing that's foreshadowed in the Old Testament. You see, Eliakim and before him Shebna, and there's other people in the Old Testament in the Davidic kingdom under the first covenant. This was a role kind of basically like called the prime minister. There was the king, yes, and he had ultimate authority, but then there was someone, because the king doesn't have time to be everywhere in all places, there's someone who had total authority to speak in the king's name, to make decisions that bound other people, things they had to follow. The prime minister, and this idea of him having a key, was the symbol of this authority. And so in the new covenant, Jesus, we see him and his kingdom carrying on this, and Peter giving him the keys. He will speak in our Lord's name. He'll be the rock on which the church is founded. He'll be this physical presence on earth that can guide and keep the church from going the wrong direction when there's a disagreement. I don't know if you've got some really good Protestant friends like I do. You might be like, hey, all the apostles later on in Matthew's gospel got the ability to bind and loose. Peter's not that special. But who got the keys? Only one man got the keys. The other bishops have the authority, just like our bishop does and any bishop, to bind and loose, to teach when it comes to faith and morals, but only one can be the one when there's a disagreement to say what is and what isn't our faith and true moral teaching. And just like this role was passed on from one prime minister to the other in the Old Testament, as from Shebna, who is not being a very good prime minister, to Eliakim, so it goes from Peter to the next apostle and the next, many is whose names we say over and over again in the Eucharistic prayer, all the way down to Pope Francis. We believe that the Pope speaks in the name of Christ any time that he's teaching formally what has to do with our faith and our morals.